Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, survivors of what many call the first mass shooting in modern America will mark the 50th anniversary of the tragedy. On August 1st, 1966, 25-year-old former Marine and student Charles Whitman opened fire from the tower at the University of Texas at Austin. Whitman murdered 16 people in all that day and wounded more than 30 others. A local reporter captured part of the chaos.
This is Neil Spelson, Red Rover, on the University of Texas campus. This is a warning to the citizens of Austin. Stay away from the university area. Traffic is now converging on this area, and there is a sniper on the university tower firing at will. Several persons have been injured. We have no reports on whether there are any fatalities, but we do know a boy riding a bicycle has been shot and seriously wounded.
This kind of attack was unprecedented at the time. The gunman was eventually shot and killed by police. Among the survivors of the UT Tower shooting is Forrest Preece. He joins me now from member station KUT on the campus of the University of Texas, near the row of businesses known as the Drag. Forrest, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Preece, you'll be attending the ceremony today to commemorate this tragedy. What goes through your mind today, 50 years after this?
Oh, gosh. Come in here this morning, look at the way it looks, appears now, comparing it to what I was experiencing as a 20-year-old junior at UT. I'd just turned 20 on that fateful day. I had lunch, as usual, with two of my old Longhorn band pals in the Rexall drugstore right across from the campus, right across from the Student Union building. We had gotten through eating lunch, and I think this may have saved my life. For some reason, our conversation that day went on longer than usual. Mm. When we got to the cash register, the lady said that the cashier said that somebody's shooting a gun. You guys better not go out there. And so we barged right out anyway. This was 1966. People didn't know about mass shootings back then. It certainly wasn't part of my mental landscape. Any rate, we stood there. We heard some pops off in the distance, like from the main mall. And in our infinite wisdom, we thought somebody was shooting firecrackers. And, well, that guy's going to get in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. And I told my friends, oh, I'm going on. And I turned to move to my right and head south down the drag to the crosswalk in front of the co-op. And for some reason, some flash of intuition made me stop moving to my right. And about 10 seconds later, a high-powered bullet came past my right ear and hit a gentleman named Harry Walchuk, who was standing in the front of a newsstand right next door to the drugstore. And he died about 2 hours later in Brackenridge Hospital. The reason I say I think it may have saved my life is that on most days that summer semester, I was in the middle of the main mall at approximately 10 till.
What is your view about how something that was so unusual, you thought it was firecrackers, it was unprecedented at the time, is now almost commonplace in America? We have mass shootings with alarming frequency.
It makes me so sad. What can you say about it? Gosh. Now you think there's a whole group of copycats out there that want to outdo each other. That's what just makes you crazy about it all.
Understandably, for us, this has been a difficult memory to shake, even 50 years on. How do you separate the memory of the shooting from your memories of your college experience, or can't you?
Well, you really don't. But I think all the good times I had at the University of Texas, I was on the Daily Texan staff for a while, and I was in the Longhorn band and had so many good times there. And my wife and I have, you know, endowed scholarships and funds at UT. I'm a proud alumnus, and I enjoyed UT immensely when I was here. But no, you're right; it does tinge things with a little bit of sorrow.
And as I've read, some students and locals ran home, got their deer rifles, and fired back at Whitman. Is that accurate in your memory?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Gosh, towards the end of the thing, it was like a war zone out there. I mean, but that did prevent him. I mean, there's two sides to every story. That though, all those people firing back, and many of them were law enforcement officers. It wasn't just people that ran home and got their deer rifles. I mean, anytime the sniper popped his head up to try and fire over the rail of the or the ledge of the observation deck at that point, somebody was going to take a shot back at him. So
it was a full-on firefight. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but it. Oh, yeah. More towards the end, it was just constant firing back. It was like a war zone.
Today, coincidentally, a new gun law is going into effect in Texas, allowing concealed handguns to be carried on college campuses. Do you think this law might have changed anything about the outcome of the UT shooting had it been in effect 50 years ago?
Or no.
And what do you think of this law?
I don't care much for it myself, but as far as changing the outcome of the shooting, I mean, he got up to the top of the tower with no opposition whatsoever, and no one would have had any reason to use a gun on him because he had subterfuge going on like crazy for him. He dressed up like a workman, had his footlocker full of his arsenal, strapped to a dolly, got on the elevator, went up to the top of the tower with, you know, he didn't present any danger.
Forrest, what do you think we need to remember about this shooting 50 years on?
Oh, gosh. Oh, what should we remember? I wish we could forget. That's what I think.
Mm. Is there anything positive to remember about that day?
Gosh, no. Mm. All the positive, well, yeah, you can say that, yes, there were a lot of positive things that were done. There was a lot of heroism, for sure. A lot of people risked their lives to go out and pull people into ambulances. A lot of people, all manner of medical personnel in Austin, Texas, dropped everything they were doing and rushed down to the Brackenridge emergency room and pitched in. Probably 1,000 people volunteered to give blood. I mean, the line at the blood bank was so long that the police had to come out and direct traffic around it. So there were many positive things that day, but I'm sure like any rational person, we wish it never had happened at all.
Forrest Preece is a survivor of the UT Austin Tower shooting. Forrest, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Certainly, Eric.